This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And welcome to Jaguars This Week. And, folks, it's going to be a very busy show with some slightly different voice. I guess you could say Brian Sexton is pursuing other things today.
Yeah, he's not here.
He's not here again 2 weeks in a row. What in the world? So anyway, it's me and it's Vic Ketchman, and we'll introduce the other one, but it's going to be a busy show. And folks, don't forget, for your game experience, don't forget to stop by Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by the Gate today. You know, this past fall, we had a little bit of a change in the Jaguars broadcasting, and didn't like it particularly well, but I thought we made some progress, certainly with, you know, with me and Vic and Brian, and we lost part of our broadcast, and obviously we miss him dearly.
Who's that?
The guy that played for the Raiders, Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Banaszak, you know.
He went somewhere else, and he's making more money.
Yeah, you know, and so we worked hard in the off season to try to get that type of presence back. We couldn't convince Pete to come back out of retirement, but we did convince somebody you may recognize his voice. Just say something.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Vic.
Yeah, you know.
And folks, we'd like to welcome back to the game day experience on Jaguars game day, Mr. Culpepper. Cole, welcome back.
Why, thank you. It's good to be home, Jeff. After, let's see, what was how long was the exile there? Ten and a half months, basically?
Eight, nine months, whatever you want to call it.
Good to be back. Yeah.
And Cole is going to be back in the role that he had from the very beginning, and so Cole is going to be back hosting the tailgate, the pregame, and the postgame shows, and he will partner with none other than Marco Coleman. And so we expect our game day broadcast to get back to being what it was and to go further and better.
So Marco's going to do the postgame rip?
I don't know. Is that right? I hope so. But, yeah, we have a lot going here, I think, actually. And it's nice to be back. I noticed you've gotten new chairs since I left.
We have new chairs.
I was complaining about those chairs.
Sexton and I stole the
for
chairs
for so long.
These are from TV, if you recognize them.
Oh, very nice. Okay. See, that's a chair upgrade. That's good. Good to see they, you know,
Everything else has stayed the same. He's still very poor. So
yeah.
Don't expect anything else.
Loggy,
computers are a little faster this week.
I wouldn't totally write off not hearing Mr. Banaszak.
Okay.
He's coming back?
Okay.
Well, I never know.
You never know.
Okay.
Polish Falcon is going to return.
Well, you never know.
The rooster.
And folks, kind of part of the change, I guess you could say, is that, you know, there are some things on the table that will be a little different, I think, maybe this fall. And I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag yet, but just stay tuned, I think would be a good way to put it.
I think it's going to be a great year from the broadcast side. We're going to have a lot of fun. This is going to be a very interesting year on the field. And I'm looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, I was over visiting with my financial advisor today, trying to get all my ducks in a row, and he said, "You kind of got a bounce in your step." And I thought you were going to say,
looks like you got a bounce in your check.
That at this rate, we might get there. But I've been excited about it, and
good to have you back.
Yeah, and good news too for me. I now actually have a desk here. I have a cubicle here in the in the stadium.
Oh.
And which means a lot more quality time with Fortunato.
And also, Cole is going to be multitasking.
Yep, that's true.
So Vic, if you need any job, ask Cole Pepper.
Can I clean your
car?
He
might be able to do it.
Can I wax the car?
You know, when they
he's going to be the long snapper is what it is.
When they hired those new coaches, he went into Joe's office and took his furniture.
Took his desk.
Isn't that great?
They took his desk and they took my film room. Mm-hmm. I got to find a new location.
Oh, what's in there now?
Those are coaches' offices now.
Here?
Well, see, folks, when they lost some coaches in the fall, obviously people are very aware of what the changes that were. And they added some new coaches, and so the number actually increased to a greater number than what it was in total last year. And, I mean, they're not, you know, obviously there's not, you know, Mike Tice is gone. There's nobody that filled that role of assistant head coach. But they have some, I don't want to say lower tier, but in title, I guess you could say, assistant kind of coaches. And one of them is a guy that I used to get in fights with every preseason, Ron Heller.
One of the dirtiest players in NFL history.
By far.
Unbelievable.
But he's one of those guys you hated to play him, but you'd love to have him as a teammate.
A face scraper all the way.
And so they needed a few extra office spaces, and one of the rooms that they had here in the stadium was a room that certain positions would break out. And so, in other words, like you had DBs and you had safeties and corners, and then the corners would take one room and then they'd move down the hall with the safety so you could kind of split them up. Or the defensive line, you could have the defensive tackles in one room and then move the defensive ends to this room down here in the hall. Well, that room down here in the hall was a room that I evaluated the film and then prepared for the Monday night show and the smart board segment and all of that. That has been
converted. It was your man cave.
That has been converted to a new coach's offices. Mm-hmm. So we need to expand somewhere else.
You can't have enough coaches. You can never have enough
coaches. No, you
can't.
Not at this level.
Is that right? You know how that works out?
I'll put you down for a yes.
I grew up in the league when, you know, you had one coach per position, and in some cases you had, and I'm not talking, you know, one for defensive ends, one for defensive tackle. I mean, you had one for O-line, one for D-line, one DBs, one linebackers, one tight end, and some staffs didn't even have a tight end. They just worked with the wide receivers coaches, or worked with the offensive line coaches. Nowadays, you know, with the game changing the way it is and the roster makeup changing, it seems like on an annual basis, the additional coaches, I think, are needed somewhat because there is more teaching involved.
At what point are we going to have an H-back coach, a tight ends coach, an inline blocking tight ends coach?
Well, we got
some
tight ends.
Teams have that.
Right? I mean,
some teams have that.
You're going to have as many. I mean, on those, you might have one guy who plays the move tight end, one guy who plays. You might have three tight ends on your roster and four coaches for them, just to keep an eye on them.
The first staff I covered had seven coaches, including the head coach. The head coach was the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the special teams coach. The receivers coach was all receivers, including tight ends. There was a receivers coach, an offensive line coach, a running backs coach, no quarterbacks coach. That was part of the offensive coordinator's responsibility. There was a defensive coordinator, defensive line coach. The linebackers coach was the defensive coordinator. I'm sorry, a linebackers coach and the defensive backs coach, Bud Carson, was the defensive coordinator.
And Bud really needed to have more coaches because Bud fell asleep a lot.
Bud Carson?
Yeah.
I don't know if in those days he fell asleep. He was a film junkie.
When he got to the Jets, Bud fell asleep a lot.
That was the end. No, he was at the end.
I was never underneath the Bud. But you know, obviously the legend grew and grew and grew, you know, the years that went by after Bud was gone. Mm-hmm. And people used to talk about, you know, that they'd be sitting there watching film.
Was Joe Walton the coach then?
Yeah.
Joe and he were close.
And all of a sudden they'd be watching film, and, you know, it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, you know, watching, talking, you know, the whole nine yards, you know, while he's sitting there running a meeting. And then the next thing you know, the film would just run. Mm-hmm. And everybody's standing behind him. Yeah, it wouldn't stop.
What's the protocol? Do you wait for a while?
Narcolepsy.
Do you wait for a while and like get like three quarters of the way through and then wake him up?
I think you go, hey, coach.
Or do you go right away? Do you try to break it up?
I'm going to read this card.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to let you run the ship.
Hey, really?
Yep. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. We come back, Cole Pepper mans the helm on Jaguars This Week. The phone to get in, 904-355-NFL1. That's 904-355-6351. And outside the calling area, 1-800-355-NFL1.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union. A job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. Cole Pepper here. Back in the old new seat in the same old place, along with Jeff Logan and Vic Ketchman here at Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna. All right, here's what I'd like to talk about, fellas. We'll Please. Take some calls as well at 355-NFL-1. We've got some things coming out of the owners' meetings, including a new overtime rule, the impact there. Of course, you know I love to talk the draft. That's always good stuff to talk about. And a trade, at least being talked about, involving a multiple Pro Bowl quarterback in the National Football League, and also perhaps a way that things could change for viewers of games in stadiums in the NFL. We've got a lot of that to get to. Let's start with the overtime rule. This came out of the owners' meeting this week. Maybe brought forward to the top of the list by some of the overtime games in the postseason and how they went, and particularly the Saints-Vikings NFC Championship game. The new rule is that if the first team to get the ball in overtime kicks a field goal, the game isn't over yet. But if they score a touchdown, it is. Which, a little bit of an odd rule.
Well, that's dumb.
It's unfair.
I mean, that's dumb. And hey, look, Vic, you've covered the game for a very long time, and I'll let you run with this because you've got a great perspective that we had talked about prior to going on the air.
All right. It's really not a big deal with me, but I prefer the old way, and I prefer the old way because it was simple and it was dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
The drama was fantastic. I told Jeff before we went on the air that the 1996 overtime game between the Jaguars and the Steelers in Pittsburgh is one of the most is one of the best football games I've ever covered, and the coin toss for that game is one of the most dramatic things I've ever experienced. I can still hear it resonating through Three Rivers Stadium. The crowd was absolutely silent, and Tony Boselli called the coin in the air, and I remember Tony saying very clearly, you could hear it throughout the stadium, tails. And then it was a pause, and the official said, it is heads.
And the place went crazy.
And the place exploded. And I mean, you knew what it meant. It meant that this coin toss was big. I said, what's wrong with the coin toss being big? Now, what's wrong with the coin toss being dramatic? What the critics of that system, the old system, which is still in place, by the way, for the regular season.
For now.
What the critics of that system are saying is that it's not fair. Because, well, if one team gets the ball, they get the coin toss, they get the ball, and they score, the other team never gets the ball. Well, let me tell you what there are lots of things about this new system that are unfair. For instance, the first team gets the ball, goes down, and kicks a field goal. Now, the second team, the team that gets the ball that's trailing by 3 points, whoa. They got 25% more downs to work with. They're up against it here. There's no punting. There's no punting in their game.
That's right.
All right? So they got an extra down. That's fair.
It changes the game.
You're darn right it changes the game.
That's why I don't like it.
That's why I don't like it.
The Culpepper overtime rule, by the way.
Before you go there,
yeah.
The other reason I don't like it is that if the first team gets the ball and scores a touchdown, game's over.
Game's still over. So it still doesn't satisfy the thought of both teams getting shot at.
You're still back to it.
Here was the Culpepper rule, okay? They didn't ask me. They probably should have, clearly. Is that each team kicks off to the other team in the overtime. And so both teams would have the same situation where they have four downs.
That would be simple.
Right? And then if it's still tied after that point, then you're sudden death. Now, Vic, you've made the point several times.
But yeah, I like simple. Keep it the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's made the game popular.
Yeah.
Has the game's popularity suffered? Are people saying, we're not going to watch that garbage because a coin toss decided the game? No!
And in the playoffs, I like what the NHL has done. You know, they had a shootout. You go to overtime shootout. But in the playoffs, right? I think it's still this way, right? They play it out. There's no
forever,
shootout, right?
Forever.
They'll play it as long as they have to. At least in the finals, I don't know. Every round of the playoffs,
first one in wins.
Yeah, and right. So I like play a full.
I think hockey needs to be changed, and that if one team wins a faceoff, takes it down and scores, the other team never touches it. That's not fair, right?
Both teams get a chance at it.
Yeah, I mean that's just crazy.
Well, look, if Brett Favre had won the game, we wouldn't be talking
about
this.
That's
another issue here.
Okay.
In other words, the Vikings were the better team, and since the better team didn't win, then we have to change the system.
All right, let's also
the Colts in 58 weren't the better team. The Giants were the better team. They had Gifford, they had Connerly, they had Huff. They had Rote. They had Webster.
And you're talking about the greatest game ever played.
Right. They had Moduleski. They had Robustelli.
What was that, 1958?
1958, yeah. The greatest game ever played. Well, you know where I'm going with this.
Okay, the other side of this, though,
it's really not that big of a deal to me,
folks. And it is. Yeah, you could convince us of that. What kind of strategy difference will it make now for teams in this situation?
You know what? You certainly don't want the ball first.
No, exactly. That's the difference. If you have the ball first, you have to play it cautiously. If you have the ball second and you're trailing by three, it's Katie bar the door.
You know what it's going to take.
Yeah, I mean, you're...
Or you tie it. Now, and that's the other question, though. You say that at first blush, but if you are the second
team... No, but I'm saying you're going for it on fourth down now, every time.
Not if you're... Well, unless you're in field goal range.
No, if you're trailing by... Well, yes, but I'm saying... Until you get into field goal range, you're going for it on fourth down every time, which gives you 25% more downs than the other team had effectively.
Right, agreed. And I think there's going to be some interesting strategy based on a team that's maybe better offensively versus defensively is how they want to play that, which could be some interesting – I mean, it's going to make for some interesting post-game shows, if nothing else, to talk about did they make the right call here, did they make the right decision on that.
It will make for it because what do you do? Do you want to see what the other team does? Or do you want a chance to score a touchdown and put
the pressure on them by scoring even a field goal where you at least do that?
They should have just kept
remember what you said before? You had a lot of emails asking the different scenarios. So what if?
I've gotten a ton of emails today from people saying, Vic, what if this happened and what if that happened?
Well, suppose
nobody
the first
asked
team...
what if under the old system. We all knew. You score, you win.
But what does happen if the first team gets a safety?
They win.
They win. That's it.
They win.
Yeah. So see, that's another situation
within
like
their
the
possession. They scored points.
So safety
over.
Is not a field goal.
That's another ingredient.
Well,
that's another ingredient
remember,
to the
Joe,
formula.
That the team that gave up the safety, the offensive team that gave it up,
they'd have to kick it away.
They've
anyway.
Had their possession, yeah. And then that's it.
And then they would have to give a free kick away anyway. So in the case of the Saints with the Cardinals in the postseason this year, they still would have won.
So, but you know, I'm getting this. Well, what if the first team that gets the ball doesn't score, and then the second team that gets the ball does score?
Then say that again.
The first team, the team that gets the opening kickoff to overtime doesn't score. They punt.
Yeah.
And then the team that played defense first gets the ball and goes down and kicks a field goal.
Game's over.
Yeah. That's a lot of for the fans to digest. I mean,
top and bottom of the end.
Donovan McNabb couldn't even get it straight.
Well, and if Donovan McNabb can't get it straight, then maybe he needs to be traded.
And, hey, look, a lot of people keep referring to, 60% of the coin toss winners win. But it's not that. The coin toss winners win 60% of the time on the first possession.
Right.
That's not the case.
Yeah. It's that they eventually win. And that's, again, I think both teams need to have a shot at it in the overtime. To me, that's fair. All right. Both teams, they've battled through it.
My opinion is that, hey, look, it worked before. It's been working. It's not broke. Don't try to fix it. You know, it's like Washington.
The drama.
We got too many laws.
Don't get me started.
The drama.
I know. We could start there and go forever.
The drama that goes with sudden death is fantastic. Yeah. It's palpable. You can
what are they
feel
call
it
now? They can't call it sudden death.
Well, they will in the regular season.
Well, right?
So we're going to have
now, but there's still some talk that this rule may go into place.
The commissioner's
for the
talking
regular
about possibly
well.
Having it in place for the regular season.
All right, we'll take some calls when we come back at 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Also, what's the best-case scenario for the Jaguars in the draft? We'll all weigh in on that, and let's see if there are a couple of players you really love. Right now, we're less than a month away from the draft, so we've formulated our opinions.
Tebow?
You might even bring up Tim Tebow. That might come up there as well. This broadcast brought to you by JustX Watches. JustX Watches, available exclusively at Estling Jewelers. Jaguars this week, Culpepper in for Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman. Back after this timeout here on AM 690 and 106.5 FM News Talk Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Steinmart, 7 Jacksonville locations. Once you go, you get it. Back here on Jaguars this week, Culpepper filling in for Brian Sexton. kind of turn back the clock day here a little bit. Vic Ketchman and Jeff Loggeman here as well. We'll talk about the draft here in just a bit as well. And trade rumors involving a major NFL star at quarterback right now. We'll see if there's a move to become. Let's get some calls in
here,
though.
Just say who it is.
It's a tease, Vic. It's a tease.
We only have an hour. We don't have time for teases.
Well, there's always time for teases, Vic. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Start with Gary in Mandarin, who's up here on Jaguars this week. Gary, how you doing?
Guys, how are you doing? Cole, good to hear your voice.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I'm going on 16-year man now, so yeah. Kind of growing up with you through the league. It's good to hear your voice there.
You know you're getting old when you hear people say, I grew up listening to you, you know? But
am I going to wake up tomorrow and George Bush is going to be president?
Not that much of a turn back the clock.
Listen, I wanted to give a shout-out. Tony Boselli is really, really busting his rump out there. With his, I guess, his team teal or whatever they're calling it. I had a chance to catch him up in Fernandina Beach at the they had a rally up there at the rec center. And Tony, if you're not listening or if you are listening, thank you so very much. I definitely renewed my season tickets. Thank you, Wayne, for giving us no increases. I'm locked in for another 3 years. But you know, just a big shout out to Tony and what he's doing and the patience that guy showed to. You know, there's free food, so there's a lot of kids shouting in the background. And I know Tony's really putting his heart into this thing.
He really is, and he's devoting a tremendous amount of his own time to do it. And it's a great job.
You could tell, and again, you know, I'll hang up and listen about the draft talk and trade talk, but I just wanted to make sure Tony knows that there's a lot of us out here noticing what he's doing, and we really, really appreciate it. Okay, guys? Good job.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
If Tony knows good radio, he's listening to this station all the time.
Clearly, that's right. That's the case. 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Lucas in Gainesville, who's up next on Jaguars this week. Lucas, how are you?
Hi, how we doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I would just like to know, I've heard a few people say it, and I don't know what the probability is, but what's the probability, you know, of, you know, maybe trading Big John Henderson for a second round pick, you know, maybe moving Reggie for a fourth or a third? Like, what are the chances of those kind of things happening?
I don't think you could get a two for John Henderson.
No, the market's kind of been set.
Yeah, Marcus Stroud got you a three and a four, so I think you start there. But if you could get a three or a four, it would help you package a couple picks and move up to two. I don't think, though, that's the more realistic scenario. I don't think that's the realistic scenario, though, for getting that two back. The more realistic scenario for getting that two back is that one of the quarterbacks, and it would have to be Clawson because Bradford will go right away.
And see, that would be the perfect scenario in my mind.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the cost of a top 10 pick, mm-hmm. very high, mm-hmm. And the return is not high.
Right. Came close with Sanchez.
And it's been proven. So, to me, mm-hmm. you know, first of all, it would make better financial sense, and it would make better probability sense of getting a player that's going to be able to turn into a good player.
And just roster impact. I mean, if you can get – I mean, think about this. Even if you hit on a guy, on guys where you're drafting where they should be, you know, a guy who's going to be a number 10 pick and he plays the way you expect him to play versus getting a 22 and a 45 or something, you know, you're talking about a late first and a mid to late second, if you could swing that.
I want that two back. I want that two back,
and I'll, a lot of good second round
and I'll tell you why on a future show, because I'm reshaping my thoughts along on
well you want
that
you want
subject.
You want a two, and I don't want to say you want the two back because that kind of gives you the impression you're not happy with what you gave.
No,
I
want a two. I want a two.
You want a two
back
because if you look at this team, they have drafted in the second round very well.
Rasheen Mathis, Maurice Drew.
Yeah, but I have a particular thing in mind to use that two on, and how's that for a tease?
I was just going to say.
How's that for a tease?
You've learned well.
And I'll talk about that at a future time.
Right. But I want to say, though, is that you know the second-round pick historically has been very good with his football team.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's second-round picks were out of this world.
Fantastic.
So with Gene Smith at the helm.
Well, those were third round picks.
Third round picks, but I'm talking
Evan Britton and Derek Coxon.
But would you take? What would you take?
Yeah.
another three?
Sure. If you could find another Derek Cox level player or Terrence Knight level player,
why not?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, if you have the right guy picking, there's less of a difference.
But Derek
in
Cox,
impact.
I mean, you gave up a two for him. Right, that's the one you're missing.
The caller, you know, praising Tony Boselli, which is right on the button. Thank you, Tony. Let's not get feeling too good about. I mean, let's not get complacent about this ticket situation. I got to tell you,
they got a long way to go.
I crunched the numbers, and I don't like what the numbers say. First of all, problem number one is that with this fill the bowl, the general bowl kind of campaign, the Jaguars have effectively reduced the size of the stadium from 67,000 to 50,000, and that ain't going to work. You know, I don't know where the club seat and premium seat sales are, but I have a feeling they're kind of flat. Mm-hmm. And we're all focusing on this general bowl thing, and that's not... That doesn't mean that filling the bowl fills 67,000 seats. It means you fill 50, and that's not good enough.
And just avoiding a blackout's not enough. That's
so
not the yeah.
The numbers, as I look at the numbers, it goes this way: the Jaguars have renewed 71% of last year's season ticket base.
So far,
they're targeting now. They say they'd like to get to 80%. It's according to Wayne Weaver. Tim Connolly, I think, this week. Bill Prescott gave me 85%. Hey, that's 80%. That's 85% of the smallest season ticket base in the team's history, which means you're already behind last year's figure, season ticket base, when you know going into last season. And that's not a good thing. Now, wait a minute. What that would mean is that they would have to sell twice as many new season tickets as they have ever sold in team history. These are daunting numbers. Mm-hmm. These are very harsh numbers, statistics. So let's not get too happy and fat about this whole thing. This is still, you know, we're still looking at the mountaintop here. I mean, we haven't reached. It's still in the clouds as far as where we are right now. And that goes to something else that I am reshaping.
All right. By the way, Vic, I did my part. I bought for my wife's one of her anniversary gifts, where our anniversary is coming up, bought her season tickets.
So good for you.
So
March 31st, by the way, is the 30-30 plan deadline. No, I'm sorry. It's the season ticket deadline. Is it the 30-30? Doggone it. It's a deadline. Yeah, it's the big deadline. On March 31st, if you haven't renewed, your tickets are released.
Up for grabs.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're coming up again on another big-time deadline, and what this deadline will tell us more than anything else is, what about the 26%, 3% of the remaining 29 have said they're not renewing. Mm-hmm. 26% haven't responded. They don't know where they are. What this new deadline is going to tell us is how much of that 26% is interested in renewing, because frankly, if they don't get a goodly number of that 26% to renew, it's a problem.
All right. We will talk about the draft more, not bog you down with too much ticket talk as we go. It's
important.
I know. Vic, listen, I get one chance to come in here when Sexton, you know, playing with Mickey Mouse. I can only do so much ticket talk. Buy your tickets if you can, and we'd love to see you out at the stadium. My wife needs somebody to go to the games with anyway. All right, let's take time out. When we come back, we'll talk about the draft. Two players that Vic, Jeff, and I really love that might wind up with the Jaguars at the 10th pick. A little something to chew on. 355-NFL1, the number. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Back on Jaguars This Week, Cole Pepper, along with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman. Trade talk involving Donovan McNabb. Bills and Raiders are interested. There's some scuttlebutt that the Rams might get involved in the conversation, although certainly not for their high pick in the draft. But Donovan McNabb suddenly being talked about as a guy who may be quarterbacking somewhere else when the year begins.
I can understand why the Bills would get interested. I mean, they're built. They just have the one position. that they need. I mean, he would change them.
No,
I disagree. They've got the running back.
Their offensive line's terrible.
Yeah, their line's terrible. You're right. But their defense last year made some real solid gains toward the end of the year. They've got that guy that kicked butt up the middle, Williams, against the Jaguars, and Posluszny, and they've got some corners, and Whitner's has had a kind of down year. But
well, the big player they have is that rookie that led, I think he led the league
in
interceptions, Bird.
Jarius Bird. Yeah, outstanding.
But offensively, though, their offensive line.
Terrible.
It's, I mean, and that's if you don't have an offensive line.
Yeah, no, you're right. But they should be able to find that in this draft. This is a great year for tackles again. But, you know, quarterback is their thing. If they don't think Edwards is the guy, then, you know, McNabb immediately, this is a quarterback league, he would immediately make them a contender.
For the short term, again, in a very competitive AFC East with Miami on the rise with Chad Henne, obviously we know about the Patriots there.
I think it's surprising that they would even have conversations about trading. I mean, that must go to show you how good they feel about Kevin Cobb.
They got a great receiver in Lee Evans, big play guy. Yeah, I mean, it tells you everything about what the Eagles think of Kevin Cobb. Mm-hmm. And I think it tells you how really abused Donovan McNabb, how taken for granted Donovan McNabb has been in Philadelphia. I think he's an awfully good quarterback.
Yeah, but if you're going to get value for him, you can't wait too much longer with the age that McNabb has. Back to the draft, I want to get from both of you two players that you really love who might be there at number 10 for the Jaguars who you would think, hey, that's a big pickup. I've got two as well, but let me hear from you guys.
Really love. Mm-hmm. At number 10?
Yes.
Jeff, do you have a couple guys in mind? I need to think on it.
The only guy that I have in mind is the guy that you're going to trade down to get.
Go ahead.
I don't have a guy picked. I mean, where are you going to end up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, I've never liked the top picks because if you go back and you look at the draft year after year, after the fact right now, you will see that there's not that big of a difference between a number 10 and a number 20.
Right, but let's say other teams agree with that, and so they don't want to trade up to number 10, and the Jaguars are stuck at 10, and the time is ticking off the clock. And even if you have to find some different unique ways to get a guy to slide or whatever else, and I'm not talking about, you know, Ndamukong Suh sliding down that way. I can't even imagine a way that would happen. But who would be the guys who you would say, Yeah, I like that.
Jason Pierre-Paul has some real home run potential.
Mm-hmm.
If he was to slide down to where the Jaguars are, I understand there's a big risk involved with these pass rushers, and we know all about that.
Know.
But you got to have him. You cannot win without a big-time blindside pass rusher. He would be an exciting guy. I like Dan Williams a lot. I think that's a safe pick, and I'd be all for it, and I've kind of trumpeted that. But I'm not in love with him. He doesn't make my heart beat faster. You know, Jimmy Clausen might do that.
Really?
For a couple reasons. I think that he would be a sexy pick if they picked him.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think he would get them a trade-down scenario, a trade-back, add picks, second-round pick in particular, if he was available. He's probably the guy, if he was available, that would make my heart beat faster than anybody else because he would represent what I would consider to be a sexy pick if they picked him and a sexy trade back if they decided to do that or could do that.
And don't rule out the possibility that if, with a 10-minute picking window now, if Clausen's there, the Jaguars might pick him and trade him to somebody down the road. And we saw that happen with the Eli Manning
I'm just happy that the draft is going to prime time.
You like that?
I like
that. You like that move?
Yeah, I
think
do too.
It's always been a television event for me,
mm-hmm.
And it even becomes more of one now.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the evening. What else am I going to watch?
Right.
You know, besides Deadliest Catch. You know, I'm not a TV guy.
Yeah.
You know, but I watch the draft, and I like to follow the draft. Now, am I a draft expert or a draft guy to where I could give you names that I would be happy that the Jaguars picked at 10? No, because I'd be talking out of my back end because I don't watch the tape of these guys. I'm not a college football guy.
Mm-hmm.
I watch the league. Now, if you wanted to talk free agents, I could give you an honest assessment.
Sure. With the 10th pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Sig Hansen. No, probably not going to draft Sig Hansen, the captain of the Northwestern, for a little
that's right.
Deadliest Catch. A couple of guys who I really like at that spot. Now, I've seen only one mock draft where he would be in that spot. But Eric Berry, to me, would be a terrific guy to fall to where the Jaguars are.
You know who I do like? Is the guy whoever Gene Smith selects.
Yeah.
Because he's been good.
Yeah, that's true.
And nobody works harder in that business than Gene Smith.
Now, if they were running a 3-4, Brandon Graham would be an easy guy for me to name. If they were running a 3-4, my guy would be Brandon Graham.
Out of Michigan. Yeah, who had a very good Senior Bowl from all accounts. And
well, he was the MVP of the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the week of it was fabulous all week long. Yeah. The other interesting thing I want to bring up here. What about Joe Hayden? He ran better in Gainesville than he did at the Combine. Certainly looked like a top cornerback throughout the year playing for the Gators.
Good player. Can't go wrong, but he's not going to be Darrelle Revis because he doesn't have elite speed. You're getting a guy who is going to be a very good cornerback, but he's not going to be a shutdown corner. People are taking a closer look at him, and what they're seeing is that he is a short side of the field cornerback, Jeff. He played the short side of the field at Florida a lot. What's that tell you?
Means he had less area to cover.
That's right.
And he didn't have the speed to cover the bigger area.
That's right.
Interesting to follow some of the intricacies because you won't find anybody who covered college football who had anything but glowing things to say about Joe Hayden.
He's a fabulous player.
Yeah, and it goes to show you sometimes a little thing that a scout notices about a guy that can either put him over the edge or not. And I think about Derek Cox and what they saw in him at William & Mary, particularly playing against the few games against top competition like North Carolina State, where they saw some things. You know what? We got something here.
If you're going to draft a guy, a corner that high, he better be a playmaker.
Mm-hmm. By the way.
And I'm not talking just covers good, knocks passes down. I'm talking takes the ball away.
Hayden did that well in college.
You want an exciting player, I'll give you my guy, C.J. Spiller. Return man, pass catcher. Run with the ball, catch the ball, return the ball. I would have no problem if they drafted C.J. Spiller.
And I haven't watched a lot of college football. I know he's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that I love, that I had the opportunity to watch him like twice. It's that running back from Stanford.
Toby Gerhart. Pounder.
I think that this team really, if you know, who they have doesn't develop. They need somebody that's going to be able to take a little bit of off of Maurice Drew. Maurice Drew can't continue to have the numbers that he had this past year. They have got to develop somebody or get somebody that can share the load.
It doesn't fit at 10, certainly. Doesn't really fit in the first round, probably. Vic, I've seen a lot of projections of Gerhart being a second, maybe an early third round.
Oh, but hey, you drop down, you know, or you work a trade and pick up some extra picks. That's what this game is all about. That's what allowed the Tennessee Titans, after they seemed to get decimated. Remember, you were saying, they're done. A couple years later, they're back.
11 picks. That's what it did it for them.
Need lots of picks and you retool the roster. Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Cole.
Thanks for welcoming me back in. A lot of fun to be back here on Jaguars this week. And, of course, you'll hear me back on the broadcast throughout the course of the year with pre-game, post-game, and some more that we have. So stay tuned. We'll also have some great draft coverage for you as well. For Joe Fortunato with the controls, for Jeff and Vic, Cole Pepper saying thanks for tuning in to Jaguars This Week here on AM 690 and 106.5 FM News Talk Radio, WOKV.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.